Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save: fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
When I first started doing Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger many years ago, I guess we started August 2015, when I first began the show and, you know, we kind of started developing a little bit of a rhythm and a pattern and audience started to form. Obviously, I knew the passion that UGA fans had, but when you dive deep and you get the chance to meet, in those first couple of years, it felt like I met certainly hundreds, if not thousands, of people who had decided to connect with our program, and they shared their affinity for UGA, their passion for the topic. You realized if you're going to do a show like this, you got to show up every day ready to deliver, because the people that you're speaking to, whether it be on video now, audio only back then, the people that you're speaking to care so deeply and profoundly about the topic matter at hand. These are people who are very serious about college football in general. They are very serious about UGA. Many of them are X's and O's experts. Many of them are following recruits well before their senior year. Many of them are historians. They can remember back to the 60s and 50s and even before that in some cases. This is a fan base that's just very plugged in, and a fan base that cares deeply about football. Now, the mistake that you might make when it comes to something like that, a fan base that cares so deeply about football, you may be left with the confusion and the erroneous opinion that that's all the fan base can care about, that they're so deeply entrenched in their desire to see Georgia win a national championship, desire to win every game, desire to prove itself to be, without question, the best program in all of college football. They're so deeply mired in that desire that they can't see the forest for the trees. They can't see anything else beyond the scope of what's happening in college football. But time and time again, Georgia fans have confounded that expectation and proven the opposite to be true, that there are really twin schools of thought always available to UGA fans. There is one school of thought that says college football is really important. It's a pastime that we've all decided to care deeply about. We're going to dive into this 100 miles an hour and consume as much of that as we possibly can. And yet, running parallel to that over and over again, and there are many examples we could all cite on this, over and over again, parallel to that, there is also this other belief that while as important as we've chosen to treat college football as, there are some things in life more important than college football. And every time one of those things pop up, UGA fans seemingly answer the bell every single time and step up in a huge way. Obviously, by now, you know this Saturday is going to be another example of that. As Georgia hosts Arkansas State and its coach Blake Anderson, who returns to the sidelines after really just, tragic sometimes can be overused in media circles, but the way that his wife and, loving mother and advocate for that Arkansas State program after her courageous battle with cancer passing away, this truly is a tragedy in every sense of the word. And Georgia fans, sensing the gravity and the magnitude of the moment, have kind of coalesced around an idea to wear pink in Sanford Stadium in honor of the Andersons, as also a reminder of the work that can be done to raise money for cancer research and the kind of scientific breakthroughs that are seemingly on the horizon as we as a society stay focused and steadfast and seeing that gets done. If you're watching on video, you can obviously tell that our studios are lit up in pink here in Dog Nation World Headquarters Studios, and we are certainly, as much as anybody else, eager to participate in this tomorrow. In fact, some of this has even gotten some national attention. Scott Van Pelt, one of the fun hosts of ESPN SportsCenter, kind of the late night anchor there for SportsCenter, he has kind of a nightly monologue that he does, and last night he devoted that to what's going to happen in Sanford Stadium on Saturday. Now, I've had to shorten this a little bit just for the sake of time, but Van Pelt cites what Georgia fans have kind of already shown their ability to do as a fan base, whether it be taking over opposing team stadiums and now putting that same tenacity towards an even bigger foe, which is fighting against cancer and stepping up and showing support for the Anderson family. I thought this was a really cool way for Scott Van Pelt to both congratulate UGA fans for already caring about this topic and then prodding them on a little bit more. This is from SportsCenter last night. Take a listen to this.
Georgia fans completely took over Vanderbilt Stadium. I don't mean that there was a lot of red. That happened at Notre Dame, too. I mean this was Athens West. The combination of a holiday weekend in the red-hot town of Nashville plus a top-ranked team made it the perfect storm for dog fans to hunker down for a spell, and they did. First thing you might notice this Saturday when they host Arkansas State in what actually is a home game is not the red, but the pink. Blake Anderson is the coach of Arkansas State. He lost his wife Wendy this summer following a 2-year battle with breast cancer. This is the brave, beautiful face of Mama Wendy, as she was known to those in the Red Wolves football family. To say she was revered by the young men in the program would be failing significantly in describing her impact. Wear pink for Wendy became a thing, and it has caught fire. Sanford Stadium holds 95,000, and I don't know how many folks were planning to wear pink before, but it's only Thursday. Maybe Friday, by the time you hear this, there's still plenty of time to take care of it, get a shirt or a hat or a ribbon for that noon kickoff on Saturday so that when you turn on the television, it looks like a big old piece of bubblegum. Down in Athens, the answer to the question, who's that coming down the track, is, of course, a mean machine in red and black. Well, that machine has a heart and a soul, and they're huge. And pink goes real nice with silver britches, don't you think? Chance to do it big, Bulldogs. I bet you do.
I think that's really well said by Scott Van Pelt, who's, like I said, one of the well-known personalities there at ESPN. Nice of him to notice what UGA fans have already done on the football side of things this season, and also nice of him to kind of prod UGA fans on even more to support the Andersons on Saturday. Obviously, the folks there in Arkansas State, including Coach Blake Anderson himself, have noticed this, paid attention to it. Blake Anderson was actually on the Feinbaum show this week, and he said that he has been incredibly moved by the support that he's already felt from UGA fans there in that regard. Here's Blake Anderson on that topic.
When I got the message, just I guess yesterday, somebody sent it to me. I'll be honest, I was overwhelmed with it. It brought me to tears yesterday. I can't tell you. I just know right now everything's really raw and it's very fresh. And just the show of support has been overwhelming at times. And we're doing everything again. You know, we're doing everything for the first time. Me and my kids are doing everything for the first time without her that we've been doing for so long, and I can't tell you how we respond. I'm so grateful for the show of support from the fans and whoever came up with the idea, and yeah, it'll be one of those things that we'll just kind of have to see how we react, but I'm appreciative, and I do think it's just a really cool, very classy gesture by somebody that didn't really have anything to gain from it, just doing it out of the kindness of their heart, and we appreciate it.
That's also a nice sentiment expressed there by Anderson. Of course, Kirby Smart has spoken out on this topic a couple of times this week, even going back to Monday. And obviously, while we think we understand what the Andersons have gone through on this, Blake Anderson himself, Kirby Smart, has even greater insight on this because he knows how the family balance and the football balance, sometimes that can be a difficult thing to strike over the course of a season when things are really busy. So, you know, Kirby Smart's own personal feelings on this are certainly impacted by the fact that he also knows the weight that his wife and Mary Beth, who's in so many ways the first lady of Georgia football, that she's asked to carry that extra weight during a season. So obviously, you know, Kirby has an extra level of, emphasis on his words when he talked about Blake Anderson earlier this week. But clearly, you know, his heart goes out to Anderson as much as anybody else. Here's Kirby Smart on that topic.
Blake's done a tremendous job with this team, this program. We know what he's had to go through and got a lot of respect for him and what he's been through and how he's pushed through it.
So, listen, I mean, we're obviously going to get to the subject of real, you know, football on the field in a moment, what Georgia needs to do against Arkansas State. We'll talk about David Daniel, the 2021 commit that Georgia has gained here on this Friday morning. But let me say one more thing on this topic before we move on. I think that in our modern age, because of social media and things like that, we are now aware of things to care about more so than ever before. And obviously, you know, our desire sometimes in our heart is to sort of care about everything equally. But unfortunately, that's not always capable to be done, right? I mean, I hate to say it this way, but there is such a thing as care fatigue where, you know, we come in contact with social media campaigns. We come in contact with groundswell, you know, movements, and we're sort of faced with a choice of which ones we're going to choose to support, which ones we're going to kind of get all in on. And sometimes I think we can feel a little frustrated as people that we end up feeling worn too thin and not able to devote our full resources to one topic, one issue, one one fundamental problem facing society. And sometimes it's sort of hard to know why some things pick up the steam and the momentum that they do. And in this case, with the Wear Pink for Wendy, this has truly been kind of a groundswell of support, truly an organic, I think, movement among UGA fans. And when you see the reasons behind it, when you see the facts that drive this, and later on we're going to bring on David Hale from ESPN.com, who's written a story about Blake and Wendy Anderson. We'll talk to him about that a little bit more. You kind of understand why Georgia fans have been shaken out of the malaise of week three versus Sun Belt opponent Notre Dame next week, why Georgia fans have chosen to make this more about football. This sort of strikes us, all of us, in a place that we can understand. It's family, it's faith, it's kind of everything in between. It was a tragic, tragic loss for the Andersons, but the way that Blake Anderson now leads his Arkansas State, leads his own family through this story, I think that makes him a pretty powerful representative of what, you know, humanity is able to accomplish when it chooses to stay strong. And the Andersons are a reminder of what strength really looks like. And I am proud on Saturday to be able to show my support for them. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Kroger, and we're available live on video 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have all of you with us today. And as I said before, really appreciate Kroger making it all possible. You know, Kroger's got all the eats that you need for every game this football season, whether you're talking about getting together for a Friday night thing before a high school deal, the Saturday action like we're all fans of around here, or the pros on Sunday. You can get it all and taste the triumph and get ready for the game with savings on, how about this, 12-pack of Coke products, 3 for $11, pork spare ribs, and 12 packs of Coors and Miller Lite starting at $17.99 when you use the card. You can start shopping for all your tailgate and game-watching parties at Kroger today. Big savings there to get you ready for a fun weekend of watching college football. Let me also say this before Jeff Sintel joins us in a moment, that we're really excited about this upcoming Thursday. I want to make sure you're aware of this. Our first Marlowe's Tavern broadcast of the season comes up on Thursday. It's our Marlowe's matchup live at 6 p.m. at, for the very first time for us, the Marlowe's Tavern in Peachtree Corners. Here's the address, 5210 Town Center Boulevard. I'll give it to you one more time. 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners. We'll be there starting this Thursday at 6 p.m. Myself, John Stinchcomb, looking ahead to the Notre Dame game and having a whole lot of fun with you. A lot of you have said, y'all, when are you going to be back at Marlowe's again? The answer is this Thursday, and for the first time, it's the Peachtree Corners location. Let's also go around the doghouse here, brought to you today by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. And as far as the action on the field for Georgia on Saturday, well, for Kirby Smart, one of the things he said this week is a lot of this is about sharpening up some of the areas in which maybe last week Georgia wasn't as sharp as it could be. He was asked on Tuesday, for instance, where he wanted to see improvement come for his team, and Smart was ready with a very direct answer. Here is what Smart said at the time.
How long you got? I mean, we got penalties, we got substitution errors, we got critical eye violations, we got busts, we've got guys not moving, doing movements up front fast enough and understanding what they're supposed to do. I mean, there's a lot of things to improve. We got guys missing assignments on special teams. We got to possess the ball on special teams and catch it in the air. Protection. I mean, there's a ton to clean up. I mean, anything that was a glaring mistake, we're trying to clean up, plus some.
So you hear Smart there say there's a lot to clean up and a lot of glaring areas that he may have noticed against Murray State the week before. But here around the doghouse presented by Merriweather and Tharp, if you think that means that Georgia's going to go into Saturday with some sort of score in mind, some sort of desire to go out and blow out the Red Wolves because they want to keep track and keep pace with the rest of the college football playoff contenders out there, Smart says that's not necessarily the case. It's more about maintaining a standard for the full 60 minutes of this game. In fact, he was Smart on that topic.
I don't pay attention to it. I get so entrenched in the game and the coaching of the players, because I want the players that are in the game, whether we're up 1 point, down 10 points, or up 40 points, to feel the same intensity that the ones that are in during the beginning of the game to feel. And I don't get caught up in the scoreboard part, because I just want the players that are in the game to have success. especially if the margin, one way or the other, up for us or down for us, is out of control, we're not going to ever stop coaching the kids that are in the game because they're all learning opportunities. And those kids want to play good just as much as the ones who played earlier in the game.
So, listen, I think it's kind of an interesting run that Georgia's been on as of late. More than 60 points scored in each of its last two non-conference home games against, you know, like Power 5 type opponents, going back to UMass last year. And, of course, you're looking at Murray State this past Saturday. I think the depth that Georgia has built has made it a lot easier to kind of go out there and kind of keep foot on the gas for the entirety of the game. And for a lot of Georgia fans, that is indeed what they hope to see happen again on Saturday with Arkansas State as far as the action on the field is concerned. It's Around the Doghouse. It's brought to you by our friends at Meriwether and Tharp. And I know that for many of you, you hope to never be in a divorce, but for the people who have found themselves sort of facing that situation, that is a process that can be scary and confusing, and it leads you to a lot of questions about your family's future, your own personal future, in some cases maybe a financial future. Here's my advice to you. Don't go through this alone. Get yourself an advocate, someone who can stand by your side and provide you guidance to deal with the really tough part about this, whether it be strategies, recommendations, whatever that can be done to make this the best situation for you. The good news is, I know it may not seem like it now, but you can feel normal again, but you've got to get an advocate on your side. That's why I recommend you reach out to my friends at Meriwether and Tharp at theatlantadivorceteam.com. The website, once again, theatlantadivorceteam.com. It's great to have Meriwether and Tharp with us as a part of Around the Doghouse. Also great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Georgia gets a big commitment for the class of 2021. Let's find out more about him now as we welcome in Jeff Sintel to Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, a lot to do with Jeff Sintel here as we head towards a kind of a, I guess, calm before the storm, before a major recruiting weekend for Georgia next Saturday, but some action with the 2021 class to start our morning off here on this Friday. So, Jeff Sintel, let me welcome you into the program. Let's talk about David Daniel, a pretty good-looking defensive back from the state of Georgia out of Woodstock. He made it official on social media this morning that he's ready to commit to Georgia, was thinking about doing some finalists, but decided just to go ahead and pull the trigger on this. I guess, Jeff, talk about how Daniel kind of fits into the picture for Georgia in 2021 and what UGA fans are going to grow to like about him as a player if they haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to him yet.
Yeah, guys, good morning. I guess those that feel like they need a commitment every 5 or 6 days or so with this program will be satisfied for another 2 or 3 days maybe. Daniel, who actually comes from the city where I live, Woodstock, Georgia, don't think that will happen that much during our time here. But Daniel, guys, is the nation's number two athlete. But forget about all that athlete stuff. He's rated as a number 41 overall prospect, so it shows you what type of grade this prospect gets. But in scouting terms, he's a clear safety. He's a physical, rangy, thumper, bring-the-hammer type safety. I like his film, especially how he's been able to really shine on special teams. That's something that Kirby Smart and his staff loves to see. And really, Bram, this has been a Georgia-Clemson battle really for a long time, and Daniel, kind of interesting, he was one of those recruits that had all the big offers because he has all the size already at about 6'2", 205 pounds already, maybe even closer to 6'3 now, very long, very rangy. But he got the big offers early. Most of those came late last fall and early this spring. So Daniel got on his horse and just went visiting around. This is a young man that actually moved to the metro Atlanta area from South Florida a couple of years ago. And he knew what he wanted. He started feeling great fits at a lot of programs, chiefly Georgia, chiefly Clemson. He goes to Georgia over the weekend. He's on the field. Something incredible also came out of the Murray State game because Daniel was just so impressed and kind of leveled by the way Georgia's coaches treated him. They came over to the sideline and talked to him during warm-ups. And he really just felt like it was time to make it official and make it go. And Georgia, you know, big picture, Brandon, they're not going to take safeties in this class, pure safeties in the 2020 class. But the way it looks right now, they've found a future nickel corner at least in Braylon Oliver. David Daniel is going to be more your physical, hard-hitting safety. And there's also that 6'5" safety, James Williams, to think about in the 2021 class. And With Georgia, they might see three names and three commitments and be done with safety and defensive back shopping for 2021.
Well, it's kind of funny that you bring that up, because that's something that Travis Baltzinger was saying in our Facebook comment section as well, noticing that the only two commitments that Georgia currently has for its 2021 class are now both of the defensive back variety. And I'm assuming that you're going to say, and it seems like you've already alluded to that, that the presence of Daniel here doesn't do anything to slow Georgia's pursuit down of a guy like James Williams. Now, Daniel's a really impressive athlete in his own mind, but obviously Williams is viewed as one of the true prizes of the 2021 class. And so it's kind of funny to see the early work on that 21 class being done at that defensive back position. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, it's like we said, Brandon, they don't have a safety in mind for 2020, and really the safety they took in 2019 was simply one guy, and that was Lewis Seen. I mean, DJ Daniel was the other guy, and Tyreek Stevenson was the other guy. So what Georgia is basically telling these elite recruits is, we went two cycles without going hard in the paint for a safety, and that's why we're coming big in the 2020 class. Everybody sees a guy like Richard LeCount, a guy like J.R. Reed. Those two guys won't be around by the time the 2021 season shows up, when all these guys are enrolled and freshmen on the team. So that creates a clear need in 2021 at safety. And you know, Brandon, that props to you, man. Plus one for you being typical Brandon. You get a safety 2 weeks ago. You get another safety this week, a top 45 player. And then you got that scratch going, tell me this doesn't hurt us with the five-star safety from the class of 21, man. That's your Mr. Burns coming out on a Friday morning.
Listen, I'm just trying to do the bidding of the audience here. I'm trying to ask the questions they're asking in our comment sections. Kind of along those lines, I guess, a little bit. It seems like the answer to this may be yes, but the presence of these 21 defensive backs, does that essentially end Georgia's pursuit of a guy like, say, Avante Williams, who that may have been a tough pull as it was, but when it comes to these 2020 safety types, is Georgia now out of the business for them altogether?
I would say it looks that way, Brandon, especially with what they're doing in 2021. Avante Williams is probably not going to be a guy in this class, especially since he's still steadfastly committed to Miami. And it appears like if he's going to flip anywhere, it's going to take quite a long time for him to do so. I just think if Georgia can look at, they have Oliver, they have Daniel, and then they have, you know, what they feel like and what most feel like is a good, strong connection right now with Williams. I think that would be check, please, or I think that would be, we've already filled up all we can with the elite prospects and safety for the 2021 cycle, and it does creep into 2020 with the way they're looking at things.
All right, let me do one more thing on this topic, then we're going to move on and talk about something else. Brian McPhail in our YouTube comment section also mentioning the fact that Daniel does at least currently hail from the state of Georgia there in the North Fulton, Woodstock, Cherokee County area. However, as you mentioned before, I guess a native of South Florida. So what's the proper narrative here? Georgia finally recruiting a player from the Metro Atlanta area, or using its prodigious ties to South Florida to attract another recruit? Which one of those kind of issues, geographically speaking, mattered more in the pursuit of David Daniel here?
I think the local connection right now with Georgia, he feels like this is his home state school. He was really, when he got the offer, I remember him telling me that he was floored to receive the offer from the in-state school of his new home state. And I think the thing there with Daniel is, I mean, this is really, Brandon, I think maybe the thing you should probably sift through some of the tea leaves here and go CSI Brandon Adams on is, this was a head-to-head win with Clemson. Clemson was really coming hard at Daniel. They liked Daniel a lot. Daniel was up for a Clemson spring game earlier this year. And if you've noticed, Brandon, Dakari Collins at McEachern, a top-rated wide receiver out of McEachern, Phil Mafa, the big-time running back out of Grayson High School in the 2021 class, Clemson already had three commitments for the class of 2021 as well, and Clemson had two Georgia boys in that mix as well, and they definitely wanted to add David Daniel as well.
I want to get a preview of what's going to happen next weekend for UGA recruiting and a little bit of a look at Saturday coming up in just a moment. Before that, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, let me also tell you about another big event we have coming up on Saturday, which is our Dog Nation Express. Now, the bus is completely sold out. we're rolling out of here in the Atlanta area. I think it's noon on that particular day, heading over to Athens for a luxury, all-inclusive tailgate experience. And the good news is, if you missed your chance to get on the Dog Nation Express bus, you can still be a part of the Dog Nation Express tailgate while supplies last. We've been selling tickets like crazy for this. We're able to kind of reconfigure the space, make room for more people, but even now that is starting to fill itself up. So if you want to be a part of the Dog Nation Express tailgate, you've got to very quickly, while there is still time, go to dognationexpress.com and you can find out more about that. The food, the beverage taken care of. You can be there that night to watch the game. If you don't want to go into Sanford Stadium, if you don't want to pay the really expensive ticket prices, you can enjoy the game from our Dog Nation Express tailgate there that day and be a part of all the fun with UGA fans all around Athens and the ultimate tailgating experience. TV set up, you know, speakers, music, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to be there for you. DogNationExpress.com to find out more details about that. All right, Jeff, a little more here, I guess, if you don't mind. I'm assuming that Saturday is not a world-class day of UGA hosting recruits, but obviously not too early to start looking ahead at what may be going on next weekend with Notre Dame coming in. So do you mind giving us just a brief snapshot of what to expect there in those regards?
Brief snapshot. That might take a segment or two, Brandon. I'm going to say that this is looking like the biggest recruiting weekend in Georgia recruiting history under Kirby Smart. The only way we measure that is we measure that in terms of five stars. I think the 8 o'clock kickoff time, as much as some folks might grin and bear it, that they won't be probably back in the Atlanta area by about 2 or 3 a.m. By the time that kickoff is over and the traffic subsides. What it does, folks, is it allows kids, players from Utah, players from Nevada, players from California, players from Canada, players from all over to be able to get in Athens, get on campus at Georgia well in advance of the big kickoff against Notre Dame on Saturday night. And it gives them a lot of time to hang out and be around the Georgia people and the Georgia coaches and soak up in all that environment. I mean, the five-star list, you know, Noah Sewell's in on his official visit, the number one inside linebacker. Darnell Washington is in on his official visit, the number one athlete for 2020, who seems like a plum target tight end for Georgia in the 2020 class. Theo Johnson, the nation's number three tight end for 2020, is also in. We're covering a lot of states here, Brandon. You've got to have a whole lot of folks, not just within the SEC footprint, but outside the SEC footprint. Kendall Milton, the five-star commitment at running back, is going to come in, going to come down for that one as well. Just a lot of stature with five stars that everybody will be checking out pregame at Sanford Stadium.
Well, Jeff, I certainly appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily here today, and I'll invite folks to check out your piece at DogNation.com, kind of a fun look at the Fromm family recipe of, what do you call them, fruit pizzas, the cookie-like things that the players have been eating, the offensive line when they protect Jake Fromm. That's really good stuff. I hope folks will check that out at DogNation.com. And, Jeff, I look forward to seeing you in Athens, a part of our coverage all day tomorrow of Georgia-Arkansas State. Thanks for being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily.
All right, Jeff. Have yourself another great weekend. See everybody in Athens town.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Fruit.
Sorry about the phone situation on that. A little bit of a rough phone connection there. We'll see if we can get that up and running and taken care of. By the way, speaking of the phone, hopefully it works better in a moment. David Hale from ESPN.com, who's written a great story on Arkansas State coach Blake Anderson. He'll be with us to kind of help set the stage for what is potentially going to be a pretty special day in Sanford Stadium tomorrow. It's SEC through time now. And before we get to that, let me tell you about my friends here at the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. You know, for those of you who do this kind of work in the kind of the construction fields, this is an organization that you need to be very well aware of, because the ANGTBC is dedicated to the work and, more importantly, the economic stability of organized construction workers in North America. This, I'm talking about better work opportunities, better living wages, protecting your benefits. If you're a construction worker, this is a very important thing. You can also earn while you learn with a no-tuition apprentice training. You can also get as much as $100,000 while serving in your apprenticeship. It's employer-paid pension and insurance, and wages that can be up to 30% higher than non-union. This is not just for men either. This is for women. Everyone encouraged to apply. So let me give you a couple of ways to get in touch here. It's GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. That's GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. Or calling 404-584-0005. Once again, the number 404-584-0005. All right, SEC through time now. I was joking about this before the show started. The air conditioner gate continues with Texas and LSU. We've talked about that a lot this week. Texas making available some sort of like statistical readout of what they thought the AC temperatures were actually blowing out of the system going back to Saturday in the visitors' locker room. That's been a controversy this week. This is a little bit of a hot button issue for me, no pun intended, because I'm very sensitive to hot temperatures. I'm carrying extra weight. Those of us who are kind of like me in this regard, we don't like it to be hot, so I'm squarely on the side of LSU in terms of this not being a very comfortable situation. I also don't think that visitors' locker rooms are necessarily supposed to be all that comfortable. I just think it's funny how seriously both sides are taking this, and Texas is apparently trying to bring some receipts to say the air conditioning was on. But for any of you who've ever stayed in a hot hotel room, here's the thing you know. Just because the air conditioning is blowing out cold air now, if it hasn't been turned on all week long, the room itself is going to stay hot. And that's especially true with these 300-pound guys in this very cramped space that is a visitor's locker room. So kind of funny to see the way that the folks in Austin are taking this very seriously at the moment. Speaking of taking things very seriously, there's also this coming out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, as a way of incentivizing students to maintain their attendance deep into games at Alabama. They're going to start tracking cell phones or something. Somebody said this to me on Twitter. I thought it was kind of a funny line. This almost seems like more like 1984 than 2019. Obviously, the George Orwell reference here. There is something really creepy about this, that Alabama wants to track the students' cell phone and kind of where they are. I think that's really creepy. Now, the incentives for doing this, I guess, are like playoff tickets and things like that. So there may be some students who willingly sign up to be tracked. I don't know. Something about this is kind of Orwellian and just kind of weird a little bit. So I guess we'll follow that and see where it goes. I mean, I think our solution around here is if you'll play better games against more interesting opponents, and eventually Alabama's going to, they've been drag kicking and screaming on this by Georgia and others, you're going to have better attendance in the fourth quarter as long as you're playing more interesting football games. By the way, speaking of Alabama, this is potentially a more interesting, maybe more serious topic. Alabama coach Nick Saban was asked this week about defensive lineman Antonio Alfano. He had missed some practice, I guess, because of a discipline issue, and Saban kind of gave kind of a cryptic, nondescript answer on what Alfano's status is moving forward, almost seeming like Saban had lost contact with Alfano here a little bit. They've had a little bit of a transfer portal issue at Alabama now, going back the last little bit. Alfano is one of the freshmen in the country. I was probably the most interested to see how he performed. I thought that was a big gift for Alabama. But thus far, Alfano not exactly fitting in too well there. This is an interesting one to follow. Alabama has lost some guys to the transfer portal and just sort of general unhappiness. Alfano would be a big one if that does indeed go down. Now, let me give you also one more quick SEC through story here as well. I did think it was pretty interesting that the Associated Press longtime college football writer Ralph Russo in his official predictions this week is predicting a Kentucky win over Florida. Now, you may not care about Russo's opinion. I certainly get that. But we joked about this, and you'll see this show later on this afternoon on the Dog Nation video channels, our Go With The Flow presented by R.S. Andrews. Y'all know, I mean, I got Eddie the Gator Hater on the desk right here. I am looking for any argument whatsoever as to why Florida, you know, might lose to Kentucky on Saturday. It's a little bit of a difficult argument to make, but good job for Ralph Russo for trying to make it. We do know this. Some ranked team is probably going to lose somewhere. Does it end up being Florida? We shall find that out and make that your SEC through. And the other big story when it comes to Arkansas State is the atmosphere around the game, the Georgia fans dressed in pink, and really the unbelievably tragic story and the story of, you know, strength and triumph from Blake Anderson over that as he courageously steps back on the sidelines on Saturday. Let me get a little bit more on that as I welcome in David Hale here from ESPN.com, a really good writer who turned his attention this week to the Anderson story. And I think a lot of Georgia fans have used that story from ESPN.com to kind of become a little bit more aware of exactly what really is going on the other sideline and what has been going on there in Jonesboro, Arkansas now for the last couple of years. David, first of all, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. We appreciate you doing that. And thanks for kind of diving deep on this story. I'd imagine it's not a very easy one to write because of the details involved, but it's certainly helpful for those of us who maybe weren't that acquainted with this story beforehand to become a lot more aware of the details. So thanks for being as open about it as you were.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's Blake and Wendy who were amazingly gracious with their time and open about all they were dealing with. I think, you know, it's very easy to want to sort of batten down the hatches and kind of be reclusive into your own world when you're going through all of that, and to open up the way that they did was really incredible. And for those who read it, the lead to the story was about her going to see her oncologist in Memphis and essentially being told by the doctors, there's not a whole lot more we can do for you. And so that was the day I met her. She sat down with me for 2+ hours after that doctor's meeting and talked to me about all that she was going through and her life with football and Blake and all of that. So essentially after getting about the worst news you can get, she still took more than 2 hours out of her day to sit down with a complete stranger and talk. So that's just kind of the people they were and whether she was and that they are. And I think, you know, I hope that a lot of that came through in the story.
Yeah, and I think it definitely did translate through, and I think her willingness to be open then and Blake's continued willingness to be open now, I think it's going to do the world a lot of good, because I think it's a really, you know, strong embodiment of what true strength really looks like. And, you know, obviously these are tragic details that have, you know, led us to be here today, and yet, you know, their story told through all of this is one, I think, of just really unmissable courage. And one of the things that struck me most about the story, and I'm curious to find out kind of what struck you as well, but one of the things that struck me is, and this is just, I don't even know how to even put this into words, you know, the scary stuff that she's dealing with is kind of running parallel to what is really kind of a time of growth for Blake's career. And, you know, for most families in that situation, as he becomes kind of a growing name in the coaching world, that would be like the most exciting time for a young family's life. And yet, while this is happening for him, you know, on the field, and, you know, he's becoming kind of a you know, more known name in the coaching ranks, they're also dealing with this away from the field. And, you know, it's hard to put into, I guess, words what it must have been like to have to deal with both these things simultaneously, the kind of thing that, you know, most people could only dream of, you know, climbing the ranks in college football, and the kind of thing that most people hope they never have to experience, which is this close of a loved one having to deal with this kind of battle. I mean, the roller coaster of emotions through all of this for them, I mean, it must have just been almost more than anybody else could have stood, right?
Yeah, and so I didn't know Blake or Wendy at all before I started doing this story. I knew the history there, and I knew she was dealing with a lot. And I thought, well, what kind of struck me as a story idea before I got to know them, the sort of pitch that I had was, when you are a coach's wife, you sign up for a certain lifestyle, right? I mean, we all know what coaches put into the job in terms of hours, in terms of energy, in terms of attention. And for their wives, it is really challenging, and it is a lot of sacrifice. And so the question that I had was, when you're faced with your own mortality, when your life unfolds in a way very different than any of us would ever hope, how do you start viewing those sacrifices that you've made? And so that was the question that I had going in. And what I found from talking to them was that they had a much, much different approach than I have ever seen from a coach or a coach's family. And so one of the things that Blake was very open and honest about in the story is that when he started out coaching, he was a lot like most of these coaches that we know. He was 100% football 100% of the time. You know, went on every coach's clinic trip, went to recruit any player that showed any interest, worked 100 hours a week. Wendy told me that one time she sat down and actually went through his schedule, and it came out to like 104 hours for the week, and she's like, you could work 2 full-time jobs and still have more time left for us than you have right now. And so he was working as an offensive coordinator at Middle Tennessee State in 2004, and came home from work one day, and she had her bags packed and was going to take the kids and go back to Texas. She was tired of living that life, and he said, all right, well, I don't want to lose you, so I will get rid of football. And he walked into the head coach's office the next day and quit.
Wow.
And he was out of football for 2 years. And in that time, I think they gained a perspective on what football means and family means. And when he came back into coaching, which I think was a very, very difficult decision for him at the time, he did it with an understanding that I'm not going to put my family as a second-class citizen to football anymore. And so he really approached the job a lot differently after that. And I think that sort of prepared them in a lot of ways for what inevitably was in store. I don't know how they would have gone through all of this if they hadn't had that sort of come to Jesus moment. I don't think that they know. I know Blake has told me that he is so immensely thankful for that happening when it did, because while he certainly didn't get enough years with Wendy, that was 15 years that he wouldn't have had if he hadn't made those changes then. And so I think a lot of it was just a matter of you gain some perspective. And to me, that was the biggest takeaway I had from the whole thing. And I mean, there's a lot, I think, of life lessons you can learn from Wendy Anderson. But to me, that was the biggest thing, is like, man, know what's important to you and make that the priority in your life always. And I think that's something that they absolutely did. And again, I don't know that it makes this any easier to go through now, but I know that just from talking to Blake that it would have been a million times worse if they hadn't had that perspective.
I think that's very well said. And you're obviously been reporting for a long time. You've had a chance to talk privately a lot of coaches over the years. Have you found that other coaches, even in private conversations, are willing to consider the trade-off that many of them make? I mean, let's face it, the guy that we cover here on our program is obviously one of the most driven, you know, coaches, and seemingly burns the candle at both ends as much as anyone could. How much private conversation have you been aware of where coaches do acknowledge that the strain that the job can put on families and the tough choices it forces a lot of different people to make? Is that an area in which coaches are willing to – are they willing to go there even privately?
Yeah, I mean, look, you get different degrees of it. And one of the people that I talked to for this story was Larry Fedora, who was at Southern Miss and then North Carolina. He's an analyst at Texas right now, but he was the head coach for Blake Anderson when Blake was an offensive coordinator. And he said, look, I was one of those guys who, you know, sort of driven all the time, go hard all the time kind of guy. And Blake's perspective wore off on me. And I don't think that, you know, Larry is certainly not necessarily doing it exactly like Blake anymore, but I think it was, Blake was a little bit of a wake-up call even to him. But, you know, for a long time in college football, the archetype for success as a head coach was Nick Saban, was Urban Meyer, and these guys who exactly are that. You really don't know much about them outside of football because so much of their life is football. And Kirby is a perfect example. Will Muschamp had a quote the other day that really struck me that was something along the lines of, all I think about is this team and winning. And to me, I understand where he's going with that. I also find it kind of sad, you know? And so I think there's a little bit of a turning of the tables on it, though. I think a guy like Dabo Swinney has done a lot to show that it doesn't have to be that way, that you can approach things slightly different and still win. I was talking to his defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, the other day, and he's like, you know, if you give me the option of, do you want more time with your guys, I always say yes. I want every single minute that I can to work and practice and prepare. But Dallo puts the reins on it. He says, no, we're going to take some of this time to enjoy each other's company. We're going to take some of this time to spend with family. We're going to take some of this time to relax and sleep and do things for your soul. And that's a very, very different approach. And I think more and more coaches are kind of realizing that there is sort of a law of diminishing returns to how many hours you put in, and that at some point you've got to replenish yourself or burn out. And certainly we've seen that with Urban Meyer. For whatever narrative you want to write around the way he's left Florida and Ohio State, I think there's certainly at least some element of truth that he only knows how to go at one speed, and that will burn you out eventually. A lot of the guys who have worked for Saban, you know, Kirby's one of the few, I think, that was really able to keep doing it over the long term. And a lot of guys just aren't built for it, and a lot of families aren't built for it. It takes a lot out of you. So I think, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a changing of the guard. And I've talked to a lot of coaches who, on a small scale, will complain about the way that the recruiting schedule has changed, and that has taken away time from family, that the demands keep going up and up and up on them, and that takes away from their private time. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I am probably right up there with everybody else who looks at what coaches make versus what players make and say, this is problematic. But on the other hand, you look at what coaches do and the hours that they put in and what is asked of them, the sacrifices, and that's a lot. And I don't envy that, and I think it's very telling that some coaches like Blake are really trying to look at things from a different perspective.
Well, David, I tell you what, it's certainly a tragic detail for the Anderson family, but their story is going to mean so much to so many people, and it already does. We appreciate you telling it at ESPN.com. I'll invite folks to go to ESPN.com and check that out for themselves and read all these details. It's well told, even if the overall facts of the situation are certainly the kind of thing they're going to shake a lot of us to our core. David, thanks so much also for being here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today to kind of go through all of that with us. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again sometime soon about some of the action on the field as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I certainly appreciate all the Georgia fans are doing with the pink hat. I think it's such an awesome thing that Georgia's doing there.
Thank you, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, good stuff there from David Hale. Let me get ready to turn our attention back to Saturday here for a moment as well. Let's do our Kroger kickoff. You know, when you head towards the weekend, as I said before, a lot of action, whether it be Fridays with your tailgate before your high school team plays, getting ready for the dogs tomorrow, obviously looking ahead to the pros on Sunday. You start thinking about the weekend. You think about getting stocked up at Kroger. We also think about doing a preview of everything we have going on this weekend, too. So let's do that right now as a part of our Kroger kickoff. Some times for you to be aware of. We're going to go live on video tomorrow, approximately 9:30 a.m. Dog walk scheduled for about 9:45 in the morning. So if you're not going to be in Athens tomorrow, you can tune in. We'll give you video coverage of the dog walk as they come through the Tate Center parking lot heading towards Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium for the kickoff against the Red Wolves of Arkansas State there at noon. As I said, that will be game time there tomorrow, and a chance to see what Georgia does have in store for its final tune-up before you go towards Notre Dame the following Saturday. In so many ways, the real season kicks into gear after that. And of course, immediately after the game tomorrow, we're live at the UGA bookstore for our Pella Window postgame show. We will break down everything that happens inside Sanford Stadium. Can't wait to be a part of all of that with you. Kroger kickoff before the game, Pella Window postgame show after the game, and the forum at forum.dognation.com, dognation.com, and everything else during the game to stay up to date on everything happening with UGA tomorrow. All right, let me get ready to wrap up. I want to say one more thing before we do, and I know a lot of serious stuff in the program today. One more thing you may have been aware of. Former Georgia running back Robert Arnaud passed away yesterday, and I'll invite you to check out our Marlowe's matchup that we did last night, because John Stinchcomb, the former UGA player, obviously knows Robert well, and he shared some thoughts on his passing last night. And so many times, it's the players that knew these guys best, that shared that locker room, that really have the best overall stories to tell about, you know, what Arnaud meant to him. So check out John from that on last night to get a little bit more just depth about Robert's story. And obviously for the players who played there at Georgia in that era, Coach Donnan's teams, certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to them. On a happier note, kind of an odd transition, we'll do our Gator Hater update, and we'll remind you that with Florida playing Kentucky tomorrow, we've got our eyes on them and our eyes on the fact that it's now been 1,049 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. That's good news. We'll see you Monday, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.